The hour has grown late, and shadows lurk around every corner. The ground behind Old Man Nielsen's barn has opened up into a gaping black pit. Strange smells have been reported, and some of the livestock have gone missing. Meanwhile, the television sets in the window display of Abram's Discount Hardware Store have suddenly turned on in unison. And in the constant black and white static of the screens, passers-by swear they are being shown images of events yet to come. And now, steadfast spectators, it is time once again to turn down the lights and turn up the terror. For you are about to unearth the rotting, shambling terror of Frightmare Theater.
My little boys and ghouls, and welcome to another grisly episode of Frightmare Theatre. I am your nightmarishly noxious host, Dr. Necropolis. Tonight, my little beasties, we are in for a truly terrifying treat. A scrumptiously sinful souffle of shuddering shocks to send shivers down your spine. But first, it is time now on Frightmare Theatre for Letters from Beyond! Today's Letter from Beyond comes to us from Little Finley Shelton in Springfield, Missouri. He writes, "Dear Dr. Necropolis, I love the show." Well, that sickly sweet little Finley, we do too. "I would kill to be on your show." Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that, little Finley. "My mother says that watching scary movies and growing up to host a horror radio show is the asinine dream of a diseased mind." Well, that's a bit of a backhanded compliment, isn't it? "Got the giggles, do we, Agnes dear?" "That's what I thought." He goes on to say, "But I know my mom's just jealous. I want to grow up to be a doctor just like you and have an old lady forced to play the organ for me."
Old?
Well played, little Finley. Well played indeed. Oh, don't look at me like that, Agnes. He's just a little boy. A brilliant, astute, articulate little boy.
Well, that cancels his chances of ever hosting this show.
Watch it, Agnes. "Please read my letter on the show and let me know how I can grow up to host Frightmare Theater when you die."
And they just keep coming.
Well, funny thing there, Finley. Unfortunately for you, my little beastie, your old pal Dr. Necropolis cannot die. You see, I am already dead. Well, technically undead.
Like not dead.
Exactly. But not alive either.
It's a little confusing.
Don't talk down to the boy, Agnes. He's obviously one of the brighter bulbs in the box. Little Finley, we are neither dead nor alive. Undead. We exist between the worlds here at Frightmare Theatre. We will not die, nor can we live. And to be honest, it's not a position a bright little beastie like you wants to find yourself in one day.
We're in hell, kid.
Jesus fucking Christ, Agnes. He's a little boy for crying out loud.
What? He's a bright bulb. He's a little boy. He's an astute little beastie. Pick one and stick with it. If he's old enough to listen to this show, he's old enough to know the truth, damn it. Now you listen here, you rotten little bastard. Life is gonna chew you up and spit you out, and one day when your number's up, you're gonna find yourself playing organ in a late night radio show for all eternity with these
Do not be alarmed, loyal listeners. We are either experiencing technical difficulties or the world has come to an end. In either case, we want to thank you for listening to our show, and we hope you take comfort in the fact that we were here to frighten you right up to the very end. We here at Frightmare Theater take horror very seriously and are proud to have served our Dark Master's purpose with dignity and grace. If...
That was Letters from Beyond! Sorry about that, boys and ghouls.
Oh, let go of me! Ow! Ow! I swear to the Dark Ones, I...
Agnes has been having one too many of her flavor shots in her coffee as of late. but she will be fine, my beasties. Cross my heart and hope to... Well, let's get on with tonight's terrifying tale, shall we? Al, help me out here!
You didn't tell me she was a biter!
My deepest sympathies. Get well soon.
Her damn dentures are stuck in my forearm. I've already been bitten by a werewolf. Now I got old lady venom coursing through my veins.
Oh, just wrap it up, you big baby.
You gotta come here. Get on the
Are we all set then? Al, are we all set? Okay, I guess that's a go. And now, my little beasties, prepare for a perfectly petrifying parable of prodigiously polluted passion in perfection.
Do we have to do this?
You tell me, John. I just want to know how it all happened. What went down?
I already told you. I told you all of this.
Tell me again. John, this isn't looking good for you. You know that, don't you?
I didn't do anything wrong.
Well then, you have nothing to worry about, do you? Let's just hear your story from the beginning one last time. Okay, John?
I already told you over and over and over and over and over.
I want to hear it again, John. Now, start from the beginning.
I didn't do it.
John?
She was my wife.
We know that.
How could you think that I had anything to do with this?
John, who else?
I loved her.
Damn it, boy, you're making me lose my pleasant demeanor. Now answer the goddamn question.
What do you want me to say?
What happened that night, John? How did you two get into the woods, John? How did it all go down, John? How did that beautiful young girl die, John?
I can't do it. I can't do this.
Come on, John. This is your only chance now. Tell me.
We were going away for the weekend.
Who's we again?
Me and Annie and...
Who else, John?
Who else?
Think real hard before you speak, boy.
It was only my wife and me. There were others that were planning on going, but Annie and I wound up going alone.
Why?
Why? I don't know. They canceled. The point is, it was only the two of us out there, for all I knew.
Just the two of you?
For all I know.
Then what happened?
Like I said earlier, we drove up to go camping and sort some stuff out.
What stuff?
Just personal stuff. It doesn't matter.
We'll see about that. Elaborate.
She was doing real well at her work. I had this promotion offered to her, and...
Promotion, huh?
Yeah. And...
And what, John?
How the hell am I supposed to tell you anything if you keep interrupting me?
Wrong answer, John. Now look what you made me do. John. Johnny boy, you are making this harder than it ought to be. I want you to tell me again how you came to find her. I want you to answer any question I feel like asking, and I want you to do it with a smile. Do you understand? John?
Yes, sir.
That's better. Now, tell me everything you remember about that night.
I got up to leave the tent and get something out of the truck.
What?
My bag.
That bag?
No, I told you I never saw that before.
And you never saw what's inside that bag before either?
No, no, not until tonight, not until you showed me.
Are you sure? Do you want to see it again?
No, I don't ever want to see that again.
So, you went to the truck and got your bag. Then what?
I was digging around in the back seat and my sleeve got caught on the lever. I had to rip it.
So, it was the mischievous car seat lever that attacked you and produced that tear in your sleeve? That's what you're telling me?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
And that's when you say you heard it?
Yes. I just got my sleeve free when I heard her scream. I dropped my bag and ran into the woods. It was dark, surprisingly dark. The light in the tent must have gone out. It took me 10 minutes to find it. What was left of it? I opened the tent and she was gone. I couldn't see anything, but I could feel the ground. The ground was all wet and sticky. I remember thinking that she must have been looking for the other flashlight in the dark and split the syrup bottle from the crate. For a second, I thought it was syrup. I yelled for her. Nothing. There was no sound, not even crickets. It was like a vacuum, a cold black vacuum. I stumbled out around the tent, feeling my way along the ground. Dead leaves. I stood up and started to walk around the back when I tripped over a log or something. Hit my head pretty hard. I was very disoriented, but I felt along the ground for the log I tripped over and I realized it was her. It was Annie. Oh, God. It was my wife. She was just lying there in the dead leaves. She was covered in blood. She was...
John, we found you 30 feet from the campsite. We found that bag with that thing in it, not 5 feet away from you. Now, you expect me to believe that someone else was out there in the middle of the woods? And that this mysterious attacker not only performed the most savage murder that I've ever seen, but that he actually took the time to plant the weapon in a bag only a few feet away from you? A weapon smeared in your bloody prints, John? Is that what you expect me to believe, John?
I didn't kill my wife! I don't give a damn what you believe. I told you how it happened.
That you were at the truck?
Yes.
That you found her 10 minutes later?
Yes!
What was done to her took at least an hour, John.
I just know what I remember.
You killed your wife, didn't you, John?
No. No, 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 no. I loved her.
You planned to take her out there and you killed her. You took your time. You made it hurt. You settled whatever score you had with that thing in the bag.
No! I never wanted to kill her. Things between us weren't perfect, but I loved her.
And did she love you?
She was so beautiful. It didn't have to happen.
You two only knew each other a few months before you eloped. You said it yourself. Things weren't perfect.
I never wanted to kill her. He said she was... that she didn't love me.
What?
He told me that it would be better. He said that I had to.
What the hell are you saying, boy?
When we planned to go camping, he said it was time.
Are you saying there was somebody else on the trip with you?
My dad. Dad told me to.
How dare you implicate your own father?
I didn't mean to. It's just... I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dad.
You little son of a bitch. It didn't take long, did it?
Dad, I'm sorry. It just slipped. I can't do it. What if they do ask?
What if? What if? Of course they'll ask. You just stick to the goddamn story and everything will be fine. You can't lose your head, boy. Son. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. You made me do it, don't you see? You got me so... mad. We've gone over and over this, Johnny boy. What if's the name of the game? If you can't handle what if, then how could you hold up if it did go south? You want to drag me down with you?
Of course not, Dad. I'm just scared. If we get caught...
That's why we do this. We haven't gotten caught yet, right? Right?
No, sir.
And why is that, John? John! Answer me, dammit!
We follow the rules and stick to the story.
Now, you see? You made me lose my temper again, John. It's not polite not to answer a person when they ask you a question. You hear me, boy?
Yes, sir.
Damn right, yes, sir. It's the same kind of shit that got Annie in the place she's in now.
What is that supposed to mean?
Oh, son. Don't look at me like that. You're family. You're my own flesh and blood. I'd never hurt you. Not really. Everything I've ever done has always been for you.
It didn't have to be this way. She was different.
No.
She loved me.
No! I love you. I'm your father. You are my son. She's just like all the others. Just a little bitch.
Please!
John, I know you felt something for her. But that'll change, John. You'll find another.
No! Dad, no!
Someday you'll find the right one. That special someone who'll be worthy. She'll make Annie and all the others fade away. They'll fade. Fade away. It's like your mother and me. John, we told you how your mom and I met, right?
Yes, Dad.
She was singing in the church choir. I was sitting in the back pew. And for some reason, something made her look through that sea of people and lock eyes with me. Even from the back, I could see how green her eyes were. You remember her eyes, right?
Yes, Dad. I do.
I used to get so lost in those eyes. But that first time I saw them, the whole room faded away. Even the voices of the choir went away, except hers. Her voice soared through the air and pierced me. It pierced right through me. She always said she never believed in love at first sight. Not until that day. Soon as I looked into those deep green eyes, I knew. I knew she'd be my wife. And I'd be lost forever. No more me. Just us. And I didn't care. Because, John, I'd found perfection.
Dad, are you all right?
I miss her. I miss her so damn much sometimes. But, John, it was worth losing her. I'd lose her again and again as long as it meant that we got to feel what we felt. That level of harmony. Oh, it's worth everything. And that's all I want for you, my boy. Perfection. It's not too much to ask. Hell, that's why any of us do what we do. Sure, we make mistakes on the way. But in this life, John, my boy, we must always strive for perfection.
I know, Dad. Dad, are we going to hell?
No. No, son. God understands. God is love.
But, Dad, she did love me. She said so. How could God ever forgive me for destroying that?
She could never give you the kind of love you deserve, boy. Not her. We tried to give her a chance. I thought maybe she was different too. But in the end, we both were shown differently. Just more of the same. In the end, we both knew what had to be done.
Yes, Dad. You're right. I'm just so tired.
John, you always get like this. Worrying about everything? What if someone finds out? What if you're going to hell? What if they find out about the others? What if? What if? What if? Worrying makes you weak, dulls your senses. Look at me, boy. I don't worry. I don't ponder the what ifs. I have the courage of my convictions, and I am able to see every angle because of it. We've been through this time and time again. Oh, those disgusting leeches who tried to mold you into what they wanted you to be. Those sluts who used their womanly ways to cloud the purity of your mind. Those pigs who wanted to take you away from me, from the life your mother and I built for you. And Annie is no different. Don't you see? Stop with the what ifs, John. We planned it out perfectly. No one will find her body, just like no one will find the others.
Yes. Okay, Dad.
They haven't found the others yet, have they? No. And if they get too close for comfort again, we'll just move on. The plan works. The plan has kept us safe thus far, and one day, the plan will pay off. You'll find the right person to share this life with. Someone who won't pressure you or try to change you. Who'll understand that your needs are just as important as hers. And we'll be able to finally rest. To settle. To put the plan aside and just live. Really live. Doesn't that sound nice, John?
Yeah. Stop planning. And rest.
Hey. You remember what your mom and I'd sing to you when we'd rock you to sleep?
Yeah. Put me out every time.
My girl, my girl, where will you go? I'm going where the cold winds blow. In the pines, where the sun don't ever shine, I will shiver the whole night through.
I love you, Dad.
John. Well.
It's okay. I know how you feel about me.
Oh, hi, guys. John, honey, you didn't tell me your dad was gonna be over so early before the trip.
You see, Agnes, this is precisely why I never got married.
Because you were afraid your lover would secretly plot your gruesome murder with the deranged father?
Tale as old as time!
Thank you, Al. Love is for suckers, Agnes, my darling, and the sooner you understand that, the sooner you can get on with your unlife.
Really?
Well, such as it is. You get the point. Don't be so damned literal. And let this be a lesson for you too, little Finley. Life's a long, hard road as it is. No use complicating things more with fanciful, flighty feelings of infatuation. Who needs it? Give me my cold crypt, a hot cup of Dorian Gray.
Nice, brother.
You know it. And of course, just give me the ability to binge Night Gallery episodes for eternity, and this doctor is one happy camper. You see what I did there?
Tacky.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight's episode, boys and ghouls. We do so hope you enjoyed this perfectly putrescent parable. I am your hysterically humorous host, Dr. Necropolis, and this has been Frightmare Theater. We shall see you again next time, but until then, good night, sleep tight, and don't let the love bugs bite.
The Frightmare Theater podcast is brought to you by Arcane, where nightmares become reality. Tonight's radio theater presentation entitled Perfection was written and directed by Nathan Shelton and featured the voice talents of Drew Dively, George Cron, with Kristen Overholt as Annie, with sound engineering by Nathan Shelton. The song In the Pines, featured in tonight's episode, originated in the southern Appalachian area of the United States and has had many hit recordings since the late 1800s. The Frightmare Theater theme and additional music is created by the terrifyingly talented Chris Porcelli and Allison Johnston and can be found along with other haunting scores at chrisporcellipiano.com. Be sure to stalk Frightmare Theater on social media and subscribe to the Frightmare Theater podcast via Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your favorite listening app. Producing a monthly horror radio drama is a monstrous undertaking. We invite you to join the Frightmare Theater Undead family and support us on Patreon, where you will receive members-only special content not found anywhere else. All previous petrifying episodes of Frightmare Theater are proudly displayed for the shock and horror of the masses at FrightmareTheaterPodcast.com. We so deeply wish to thank you for listening and hope you join us in the shadows again next month for an all-new episode. Until then, I am the announcer, wishing you pleasant dreams.